5, we see the example of Jesus Christ and his power manifest in this passage. It says this, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. And notice what's the first two things it mentions: teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Church, can I tell you tonight what this world needs more than anything else is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, man, our country has a lot of problems and we need help and something needs to be done to help our generation, amen, and help the next generation. And man, I know that you have heard people say, man, I just don't know what's going to happen to our country. Can I tell you this? The answer is not in politics or in money or in education or in social programs. The answer tonight is in the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the gospel that changes a heart and changes a life. And Jesus knew that. And so he came to this earth. And you know, many times people talk about Jesus and his miracles and Jesus and the things he did for people while he was here. And I'm not taking away from that. Jesus did give sight to the blind. Amen. He did heal the lame. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And he performed literally thousands of miracles while he was on this earth. The Bible says that he healed multitudes of people. But can I say this to you tonight? That was not the focus and the major point of why Jesus came. Jesus came to die on a cross for me and for you, and to pay our sin debt that we could not pay, to shed his blood there that would make the atonement for our souls, to be buried and then to rise again so that he could give eternal life as the conqueror over death to everyone that will believe that he died for them personally, was buried and rose again, and by faith will call on him and ask him for forgiveness of sin and salvation. And aren't you glad tonight that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a whosoever will gospel? Amen. If it wasn't, I couldn't have obtained it. But I have eternal life tonight, not because of my merit, not because of my good works, not because of my social status. Amen. Or how many people are following me on Twitter or Instagram. Hello. Smile at me. Why do I have eternal life? Because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the grace of God. And there was a time that I realized that I was a sinner and I could not save myself. But I knew that Jesus was God in the flesh and he was the Son of God and came to this earth. Died for me on a cross, was buried and rose again. And I knew that if I call on him, he would answer and save my soul. And so I did. And he did. Amen. If you're here tonight, it's a blessing to be saved, amen, and to know Jesus and the power of the gospel. But this is the example Jesus said. I thought about it as I was working on this message, and the Lord gave me this thought, and I was thinking, man, what a better example. There's not a better example of missions than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus and God the Father knew that man was lost and man would need redemption. And so Jesus left his throne in glory, his comforts and where he was at, and came to this earth to a people that didn't deserve it to bring salvation to them and to you and I. Amen. It's the ultimate example of what a missionary does. Amen. They get burdened for the need of a people and the spiritual condition of a people. And they allow God to speak to their heart and to touch their heart. And they say yes to God. And they say, God, I'll go to Asia or Africa or wherever. Is you have many places listed on the wall here, and you have several missionaries out. I saw your missions board out in the lobby, and you have several you support. And what happened somewhere along the way, they felt the burden to reach people with the gospel of Christ, and they knew the call of God in their life, and they followed the leading of God and the example of Jesus Christ, and they left where they were at for the purpose of taking the gospel to somebody else, following the example of Christ. What a great example that is. And church, I hope tonight that you will say, hey, I want to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell people about the gospel. Amen. Listen, if our missions program, and I know it's not that way here, let me just say it by example. If our missions program is all about humanitarian effort, we have missed what God has for us. Amen. There are a lot of things being done in the name of Christ that are mostly humanitarian and very little gospel. And can I tell you, the gospel needs to be the emphasis of missions work. Amen. And I'm not against humanitarian efforts. I'm for them. But I'm for them as a tool to get the gospel to people. Amen. That's the call of God on the church. And that is the commission of the Christian and the church. Amen. It's to follow the example of Jesus Christ and to take the gospel to people whom we might even look at and say, you know, I'm not sure they're worthy of that. Can I say this to you tonight? I'm not worthy of that.
Right.
Amen. God, help us to look past the surface and look on the heart of people and see the need of their soul and their spiritual need. And we notice by the example of Jesus that he addressed their spiritual need as well as their physical need. Amen. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching, the Bible says, the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus has power to save and to help the lost? Hey, I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad Jesus had the power to save me. And I'm glad the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You say, man, I'd sure like to see our country turn around. I'd like to see revival in our land. I'd like to see our nation turn back to God. It'll happen through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not a gloomist. I don't even know if that's the correct word or not. But I'm not negative in my outlook. Can I say it that way? I believe there's still hope for America. Amen. I believe there's hope for the next generation. I don't believe it's a lost cause. Amen. And I believe God still has the power to do great things and that the gospel still works. Amen. And if we'll tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are people out there that are willing to hear and want to hear and are willing to be saved. Amen. And that God still speaks to hearts. And God is still in the saving business. So let's follow the example of Jesus Christ and share the gospel with others. But we'll not do that. We'll not reach the lost and follow that example unless we see their need from the Savior's perspective. Look at verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, I don't want us to stop there for just a moment. I believe God would have us to pay attention to what was said there. But when he saw the multitudes, Jeremiah, it's recorded for us in the book of Jeremiah the prophet. He said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Actually, it's in the book of Lamentations. But Jeremiah the prophet recorded it. It's important for us sometimes to look out. Amen. Well, we can get so busy as Christians. We get wrapped up in ourselves and what we have going on and the things going on in our lives and our circumstances that sometimes we get very introspective. We miss what's going on around us. Amen? And Jesus said, well, the Bible says here in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitudes. If you mark your place here and go to John chapter number 4, another familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter number 4. Jesus saw the need of a woman who lived in Samaria and the spiritual need that she had, and he spoke to her about her need of salvation, and she got saved. In the middle of this testimony of what happened, Jesus speaks to the disciples because they were concerned about his nourishment. In verse 34 it says, in John 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? In other words, he's saying, according to the time of year that it was, he said, wouldn't you say, or don't you recognize that 4 months from now, then cometh harvest? That's what we're talking about, all right? So he's using a physical example, and then he moves on. Say not ye, verse 35, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. It is important tonight that we see the plight of the unsaved world. We need to look as Jesus looked and see their spiritual need. Hey, there are lost people out there. Matthew 9 described them like this, that Jesus saw the multitudes and they fainted. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Can I say it to us like this tonight? There are people out there that are weary of sin. And they're weary because of sin. Amen? And they don't know where to turn. They'd like for their life to be different. They'd like to have peace and have joy. And it's talked about all the time. We need peace in this world. Amen? Listen, you and I have the message that can bring peace. It's the gospel. Amen? And that's what people need. And when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And I'm challenged, and I hope you'll be challenged tonight by that thought that we need to look beyond ourselves, amen, and see the spiritual need of people. Sometimes we have to look beyond the physical appearance and see the spiritual need of people and allow God to help us. Amen. Listen, it's important for us as Christians to understand lost people are going to act like lost people because they live according to the dictates of their flesh. Amen. So they act like lost people. And sometimes we can get turned away from them because they're acting like lost people, and we ought to allow God to help us to see the spiritual need when we see those things going on. Amen?
Sure.
Give you an example. A few years back, when I was a youth and assistant pastor, I had some business dealings with a man, and it's a situation I was trying to buy something. This guy had it for sale, and I just met him. And I started talking to him, and it turned out he was a bounty hunter. Great. And while I'm talking to this guy, God is speaking to my heart, and he said, you need to share the gospel with this guy. This guy was a little bit bigger than me, and he had a tattoo on his face, and he had a tattoo on his neck. And I was like, Lord? Now I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking a prayer, a conversation with God. You ever do that? Lord, are you sure? Because I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous. I mean, this guy is, you know, obviously a tough individual. And the Lord said, you need to speak to him. So I took a breath and I bought what he was selling. And I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. Seemed like a nice guy. We had a nice conversation before that. I said, before I leave here today, I said, can I ask you, are you saved? Do you know for sure that one day you're going to heaven? He said, no, I'm not. I'm not sure of that at all. And he said, in fact, I was just talking to my girlfriend about that the other day, that we got to do something different in our lives.
Amen.
And that's the Lord. That's not me. I'll be honest with you. If I had to talk to somebody like that again tonight, I would be nervous again. I was nervous then. But I want to tell you what happened, what God did. I said, if I could take just a few minutes of your time and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven, and that your sins are forgiven and Jesus is your Savior, would you be willing to listen to that? And he said, sure. I took him through the Romans road of the gospel. We stood beside my pickup and he prayed right there and asked Jesus to forgive his sin and be his Savior and trust in God. So what are you trying to say, preacher? Here's what I'm trying to say. God saw that guy's spiritual condition. And God was trying to get me to listen to him so that guy could get the gospel. Amen. And I'm thankful that God tonight gives us the privilege to serve him and be part of his ministry. Amen. And I'm glad that God gave me the courage to go ahead and ask him that question and to look past the outward appearance of what he did for a living and to talk to him about his spiritual need. And can I say to his church, there are people all around us in this area who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God wants to reach them. But we have to see the plight of the unsaved world. They're tired. They're faint. They are wandering. The Bible says here in verse 36, because they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Imagine with me tonight if there were just livestock aimlessly wandering and sheep around without a shepherd. It'd be a problem, wouldn't it? Well, that's the way Jesus described the lost in this place. And can I say this to us tonight? As we look at the fields, and we ask God to help us to see the need of the lost, and not just the fact that, hey, Brother Hall needs to go to Africa to reach those people, and you know, Brother Holland needs to go to the Arctic and reach the Eskimo people and reach those people, and we need to help him. That's wonderful, and you should be doing that. But God, help us to say, Lord, help me to reap and work in your fields right here in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Amen. The Clarksburg area of West Virginia, surrounding areas. We must be moved with compassion. So we'll never do it until we see people more like Jesus does. And we have compassion on them. Verse 36, look at it again, please. It said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was moved with compassion. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the plight or the peril of unsaved people. The Bible says in John that they're lost, that they're perishing. And in John chapter 3, verse 36, it says they're underneath the wrath of God already. That's a very serious condition to be in. But I know this, God loves them. Amen. Just as much as God loves you and me, God loves them. And God wants us to see their need, and we have to be moved with compassion. I looked it up in an old dictionary, Webster's 1828, Brother Morrison has, what the word moved means. It means what you think it means. It means to be impelled to go from one place to another. And the word compassion means to have a painful sympathy for someone else. In other words, to allow God to help you to feel some of the sorrow that those people are feeling. That's to have compassion for somebody. Hey, if I know that you have no food in your house and you are hungry, and I have more than I need, and I walk by you and I shake your hand, and the book of James says it like this: if I say to my brother, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and I pat you on the back and say, have a nice day, and I know I could have helped you, and I know you had a need, and I didn't do anything to help you, you'd say, what a bum. Right? Sure. It's okay to agree with me on that point. That's an easy one. Amen? And we should. Amen. But if I'm moved with compassion because I know that you have a need, then I'm going to go do something about it. Amen. The same is true with taking the gospel to a lost and dying world and people that are out here wandering, out in sin, without spiritual guidance, without direction, without peace and help in their life. And I have the message that they need, and I can share the gospel with them. And if I just walk by people every day and I'm not doing anything to help them, shouldn't somebody look at me and say, you're a bum? They should. Because I have what people need, and I'm refusing to do anything about it. I'm not moved with compassion. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he looked on the field. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. God, help us to be moved by the plight of the lost. Amen. To have compassion is to feel sympathy for the pain of others. And then, can I say this to you tonight? Quickly, the possibility of the harvest. Jesus taught his disciples the possibility of the harvest. There's a principle in Scripture. It's called the law of the harvest. And that is, what you sow, you will reap. Amen. A lot of times we consider it, we think about it in the negative. You sow sin, you're going to reap consequences. And Christian parents tell all their Christian children that. Amen? You be careful, you reap what you sow. If I heard it once as a kid, I heard it I don't know how many times. And I'm thankful tonight that my mom and my dad taught me consequences. But you know, there's a positive side to that. If I will sow righteousness, the Bible says, I'll reap righteousness and I'll reap the blessing of God. Hey, if I will sow the seed of the gospel, not everybody I give a gospel tract to will get saved. Not everybody I ask the question, hey, do you know for sure that if you die today, you'll go to heaven? Will respond and say, no, I don't, but I wish I would know. But some will. So how do I pick and choose? I don't. I just give the gospel as God gives me leadership and opportunity. Amen. And as God gives me leadership and opportunity, I give the gospel out. And I leave the results up to God and his convicting power. Amen. But there are people out there that need Christ. And the possibility of the harvest, Jesus taught to his disciples. He looked at the multitude and he saw their need. And he is moved with compassion to do something about it. And then he turns to his disciples and he says, the harvest is plenteous. Look around you. There are lost people everywhere we go. Amen. Need the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 4, in a completely different instance, he said, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I love it when you try to go out and witness to somebody and you run into somebody like I mentioned earlier that says, you know, I was just talking to my girlfriend about that the other day. How can I know for sure I'm going to heaven? I love situations like that, don't you, Pastor Paul? You're dealing with somebody and they say, yeah, I want to know. Not always is it like that. Sometimes I plant and Pastor Vaughn waters and somebody else sees the increase. Amen. But God gives the increase always. But it's all important. It's all important. So don't be discouraged and don't allow the devil to discourage you or your flesh to discourage you. Just be reminded of the possibility of the harvest. The fields are white and as plenteous, Jesus said. Can I encourage you and remind you again tonight of this simple truth? People can be reached. And this is what Jesus is saying to the disciples. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He's saying there's people out there to be reached all over this world and all over this county. So we need to get out and labor. Amen. Verse 37 and 38. The Bible says, verse 38, excuse me. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Not only we need to see the possibility of the harvest that is plenteous, but we need to see finally tonight the prayer for the harvest. The prayer for the harvest. Here's what Jesus said. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So how does all this work? Number one, we follow the example of Jesus tonight. Jesus was about the business and his Father's business of taking the gospel to the world, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, sharing it with others he was around. So we need to follow that example, be about that business, have it in the forefront of our minds that everywhere I go, I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm a representative of Grace Baptist Church. Amen. So I am that. So I follow his example. I see the need of the lost and I ask God to help me. Lord, help me not to lose the burden to reach lost people and the vision to see them more like you do. To see their spiritual need and understand the plight of the unsaved. That if we don't reach them with the gospel, there's an eternity that awaits. Amen. The devil's hell that God does not want them to go to. But there's a possibility that the harvest people can be reached. And here's the prayer. God, help me to labor in the harvest. Amen. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe that it ought to be twofold. I believe we ought to pray, Lord, send laborers. God, help us to reach the world. God, help our missionaries to reach the people where you sent them. But God, help me to labor right here. Help me to have a burden to reach the lost. God, help me to have courage and boldness to take the gospel to those that need it. And God, help me not to lose my vision to see others more like Jesus does. God, send the laborers. The Lord, as you're sending the laborers, help me to labor. Amen. You find in chapter 10 that then the Bible talks about Jesus sent out the disciples two by two to reach the cities of Jerusalem and Judea. Jesus is in the business of sending laborers tonight. And he wants us to pray that he'll send forth more laborers. But he wants us to be willing to go too. God help us to understand tonight what Jesus taught about missions, about sharing the gospel with others. Each head bowed and every eye closed, please. Pastor Vaughn.